You have your Bibles this morning. We invite you to turn with us to Isaiah chapter number 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy to the Lord of hosts, or is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me! For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. And thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. I want to preach on that thought today. Here am I, send me. Father, I ask your help this morning, that we might boldly declare the word of God. Father, I thank you for the text from which we've read and the infallibility and the inerrancy of the scriptures. Now, Father, I pray you would loose our stammering tongue and you'd fill our very soul, our mind, our intellect, and you'd help us to speak the oracles of God with the ability only you can grant. Father, we need to hear from heaven, and I pray, God, you'd speak to our heart. For this I pray in the worthy name of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Six times in the Word of God that I can count, we see that phrase, Here am I. Each one of them very significant. This one to me, different than the other five. I want to look at the first time we see that phrase, Here am I. It's found in Genesis chapter 22 and in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Look at the second verse. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And we know that Abraham was obedient to the voice of God, in that he took his only son up to the top of Mount Moriah, which we know as Mount Calvary. And there he laid his son out on the wood, and he began to take a knife to slay that young man. And the Bible says in verse 11, And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And the Lord stopped him from offering that boy. And when Abraham looked behind him, behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, which represented our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He is the perfect sacrifice that God demanded. I would have you to recognize in verse 11 of this text that God spoke to Abraham twice. Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here am I. Turn to Genesis chapter 46 and verse number 2. We see Abraham's grandson, Jacob is his name. The Bible says in verse number 2, And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. He said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. God gave him specific directions for his life, but he mentioned his name twice. Jacob, Jacob. In Exodus chapter 3, we see this thought continuing with a young man by the name of Moses. The Bible tells us that there is a bush that burned with fire in Exodus chapter 3. And in verse number 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Again, the call of God. This time Moses' response was a response of sanctification, of separating himself. Jacob's was a response of summons, direction for his life. Abraham's response was one of submission. When I turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see a young man by the name of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And in verse number 4, Samuel was that young man that was given to the Lord by Hannah, who at one time had been barren. And the Bible says in verse 4 that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. And we know he didn't recognize that that was God's voice. He thought it was Eli. And he ran to where Eli was and he said, here I am. Eli said, I didn't call for you. Go lay back down again. And the Lord came again and said, Samuel. And Samuel jumped up and ran back to Eli and he said, here am I. He said, I didn't call for you. Samuel went and laid down again. The Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. And I want you to know that he ran back to Eli and Eli said, son, the Lord is calling you. It's not me. It's the Lord. Look at verse number 10. I'm going to get tore up. Look at verse number 10. And the Lord came and stood. I like that, don't you? Praise God. He stood on Calvary's hill for me one day. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Hey, man. We see four times here so far a double name being mentioned. Abraham, Abraham. Jacob, Jacob. Moses, Moses. Samuel, Samuel. And then we go to the New Testament. In the book of Acts, chapter number 9, the Lord has a young man by the name of Saul that the Lord has saved, and scales are on his eyes, and he's been waiting for some amount of days he cannot see. And in Acts chapter number 9, in verse number 10, the Bible says there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, just mentioned his name one time here, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here. Lord, I want you to know that Samuel responded with a voice of sincerity, and Ananias is responding with a voice of service. The Lord said, I want you to go down there, and I want you to lay your hands upon one by the name of Paul, and I want him to receive his sight. The Lord sent you, Ananias, to go lay your hands on Saul. And Ananias did just exactly what God called him to do. But Isaiah, of all of those other five, Isaiah being the sixth one who said, here I am. The Lord never spoke his name. And I thought that was interesting and it has some significance. And let's see if we can dig that out just a little bit this morning in the text. I want to say there are three things about these verses that you and I need to see in Isaiah chapter 6. First of all, you need to recognize this morning before I even start to preach that the Lord knows your name. And if he mentions your name twice like that, that's very significant. That you are caught up and he needs to get your attention. You're caught up in what you're doing and you're not paying attention to what he wants you to do and he mentions your name twice. Have you ever had the Lord call your name? Oh, he's called mine. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. I want us to see first of all the vision that captured Isaiah's attention. Look at it again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Think with me for a second. Uzziah, who was he? He was the 10th king in the lineage of kings of Judah.
He was made king at the age of 16 years old. He was a godly young man. He served 52 years as king in the land of Judah. But towards the end of his leadership or his rulership, his heart got lifted up. He got prideful, thought he could do things on his own, and the Lord smote him with leprosy. And Uzziah died a leper. You may say, preacher, that's disgraceful. I would be filled with disdain for him being filled with leprosy. But he lived 52 years as king as a godly man. Okay? And now he's died. And Isaiah the prophet says, this is a time of national ramifications. Change is coming. A huge time of change. As Uzziah was our king, we knew a time of prosperity. We knew a time where of consistency and a time of security. God did bless our nation, though Uzziah did mess up at the end. God did bless our nation and blessed us greatly. Some of you can remember when JFK was shot. Some of you remember when Ronald Reagan was shot. Some of you remember when things have happened and ramifications to our nation. Isaiah was very concerned when King Uzziah died. He was very concerned because he believed that the nation was going to be filled with uncertainty. Doubts has filled his mind. He had seen King Uzziah as a national hero. And now times of change have come. And he goes to the temple to pray. And as he's praying, God gives him a vision. He shows him himself. He said, you know, that earthly throne that Uzziah occupied is now empty. He was a human king, but look to me. I am the heavenly king. That human king may be dead and moved off the scene, but I am a divine king that's very much alive. And though you may feel a time of insecurity and a time of uncertainty, I want you to know, Isaiah, I'm still in control. Hallelujah. God gave Isaiah a vision to say, son, I'll never let you down. No matter what changes you go through, I will always be there for you. You and I need to remember this morning who is in control. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train, his glory train, his robes of righteousness filled the entire temple that Isaiah was looking at there. You know, this morning, our newspaper headlines and our, you know, all the cable and all the satellite channels are declaring that our world's in chaos. I mean, we've got people shooting down airplanes that are passenger jets, and we've got folks firing rockets back and forth, and the world that we live in is in chaos. And to be honest with you, I get pert near excited about it because I begin to think that my redemption draweth nigh and the Lord's coming just as he said. And this morning we need to remember who it is that's in control. Our God is still well in control and he's running things right well, and I bless his holy name this morning. You and I must remember in the time of devastating wars and in the time of deadly diseases and the time when there's a destructive crime wave, hey, God is still in charge this morning, and I bless his holy name. Look at the text. The Bible says the Lord was enthroned this morning. He's a sovereign God. It says he was high and lifted up. He was exalted. Hey, praise God. He's a king of majesty, and his train filled the temple. That means he's encompassed with his glory. Please understand the position of our sovereign king. He still occupies the throne of glory, and nothing will ever change that this morning. Not only did Isaiah see the position of the sovereign king, but then he heard the praises of a sinless king. There were these beings called seraphims that began to fly around. The word seraphim means the burning one. They're always around the throne of God. Let me tell you something. You get around the things of God, it'll cause your heart to burn too. Amen. We go to places and preach, and we see people who are no longer have concern and people who are apathetic. You know why that happens? Because we're not around the throne of God like we ought to be around the throne of God. If we'd get around the throne of God, we'd begin to cry out, holy, holy, holy. Look at these seraphims. The Bible says they've got six wings. Their first set of wings covered their face. They were in awe and reverence of God. The next set of wings covered their feet. It was almost as if they were, while they were flying, their feet were covered by their wings, amen, because they were not going to stand alone. And they were humble in what they were doing. And their other two wings caused them to have a covered flight as they began to go around the throne. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, the church ought to be crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's well in control this morning. We have a sinless king and we have a sovereign king. But read on with me. I want you to know he sees the presence then of this supreme king. He said the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. In other words, things begin to shake. Hey, praise God. I was listening to the choir sing this morning, and it was beautiful. I was sitting here thinking about the service, how quiet we were. Oh, and I don't know if there was a reverence or if we were just waiting on somebody else to do it. Brother Ronnie looked over at me and says, it's kind of quiet this morning, ain't it? Woo! But I want to say praise God around the throne in heaven. Amen. It's not a quiet place. They're shouting and praising his holy name now and crying out, holy, holy, holy. And the saints of God are lined up. And then, oh, Jesus is getting ready to come and get his children and take us out of this place. And that excites me to death this morning. Amen. Do you see the vision that Isaiah had? Oh, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. Listen, I don't know what's been taken from you. You may be a little bit down this morning. I pray that God would give you a vision of who he is. I pray that God would let you see him through the lattice work and know just how much he loves you, how in charge he really is. He really does care for your soul. When the doctor don't care and the nurses don't care and you don't think the church cares, hey, honey, I promise you something. Jesus cares about your soul this morning. So we see the vision that captured Isaiah's attention. In these days of difficulty, in these days of depression, in these days of disappointment, in these days of defeat, God is still in control. And you and I would do well to remember that. You see, Isaiah, he had a look upward. And then that look upward caused him to have a look inward. Number two, I want you to see the verdict that changed Isaiah's attitude. When he saw these things, the shaking at the house of God, and then the Bible said there was smoke that filled the house, the smoke, the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. Have you ever had the glory of God fill this tabernacle that I'm pointing to right here, where your soul, where Jesus dwells? You ever had the Shekinah glory? You get a case of the can't help it. Woo! They look at you like you're a raving lunatic and an imbecile, but you're just hooked on Jesus and the blessings that he sent to you that day, and you just get in a place of worship, and you don't care who cares if you're shedding your tears or if it's snot running down your face. You just get a case that can't help it, and you get caught up in the glory world. That's what we need. Then he has a verdict. When he has that look upward, it causes a look inward. Anytime you begin to see the glory of God, you begin to think quickly how undeserving you are. Listen what Isaiah said. He said, then said I, woe is me. Immediately, we understand he goes to a prayerful confession. Woe is me, for I am undone. He is a man filled with sorrow. He is a man that says, I am unclean. He said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah, first of all, confessed his own sin. He said, there's sin in my life. I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. Now, when I say that, you understand that the Bible says the mouth speaketh from the abundance of the heart. In the old timey days, if you went out and cast a one of them big buckets down into a well, that well, that bucket goes down and boom, hits that water. You pull it up, that bucket will pull out what's inside the well. And your mouth will confess what's inside your well. When you get squeezed a little bit, what comes out? That's what's in there. Oh, preacher Darren Wise, people get so angry. Why do they cuss the way they do? Why? Because that's what's in there. How dare you say that? Let me tell you something. if you throw that bucket down the well and it brings out bad water, you start yelling and screaming all you want to, but that means there's bad water down that well and I wouldn't drink it. Isaiah said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm talking about the prophet of God, the man of God. And then he said, Lord, it's not me only. But he said, I dwell in amongst a people. I'm surrounded by a people, in the midst of a people of unclean lips. His surroundings, he confesses, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I mean, there's just a holiness fell upon that place. Isaiah was making his prayerful confession. And look at this perfect cleansing. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah has confessed his sin. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal off of that altar. Look at that. And it's in his hand. And he took it from the tongs from off of that altar. And what does he do with it? He comes down and he says, he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. What is the agent of cleansing? It's that live coal that's come off the altar. Hey, do you know what's on the mercy seat today? The blood of Jesus Christ. And when we ask him to forgive us, he takes the blood and he washes us as white as snow. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Oh, hallelujah. He takes that tongue and he puts that coal on the lips of Isaiah. And that burning, that fire, it burns away the dross and the iniquity and the impurity. And it causes him now to be able to have a time of correction. And he's sensitive to it. Because the seraphim said, thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. I'll ask you this morning, is your iniquity taken away? Has your sin been forgiven? Hallelujah to God. Number three, and I'll be done. The voice that called Isaiah's allegiance. Verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, hear me, Preacher Darren, I want to hear from heaven. I want God to speak to me. Well, first of all, he already has through his word. Second of all, he does oftentimes through his servants, through his spirit. Amen? Preacher Dan, I want him to speak to me. You're going to have to get, first of all, to a place that you come to the verdict of, I'm a sinner and I'm not in a place for God to speak to me. The only thing he's going to deal with me about is my sin problem. And when I confess my sins and I get right about my life, then he'll speak to me. Then he'll show me what to do. You want to hear God speak? It's conditional. Then just accept the verdict that you're a sinner and just tell him, oh God, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man of impurity and I dwell amongst a people in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and just confess that to him and let him take it away. And when he takes it away, look with me, then the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Do you see, first of all, God says, whom shall I send? He's God. There's one God and there is none other. And who will go for us? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right there together, amen. Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? For me, that's an opportunity for service. I believe God is calling individuals into service. Preacher Darren, we're already in service. So was Isaiah. He was supposed to be a prophet that God knew in the womb. But here in Isaiah 6:8 is Isaiah's definite surrender to follow the will of God for his life. Quit wondering and worrying and set your affection on things above. An opportunity for service. The Lord, I believe, is asking some mother, what about your children? I want to bless your children, and I want to bless your children through you. But you won't get in the place of consecration so I can bless you to help them. All you're worried about is you. I could talk to a Sunday school teacher. I could talk to an Awana leader. I could talk to a school teacher. I could talk to a daddy. I want to tell you something this morning. God shared with me this week. He said, whom shall I send? There are people that are dying and going to hell. Whom shall I send? Can I send Bethel Baptist Church? Would she as a whole be willing to say, here I am, Lord, send us? Or would it be those of us who'd say, I've got my reservations. I'm happy just like it is. I don't want to see nothing change in my life. I don't want to risk anything. Well, I'm going to tell you, God is my witness. God speaks to my heart. I want him so bad. And I'm ready to move forward. And I could only hope you'd say, oh, I want to be what God calls us to be every day of our lives. I want to be a godly mama. I want to be a godly daddy. I want to reach out into this community. Here am I, said Isaiah, send me. I believe there's an opportunity for service. And look what he said. Here am I, send me. It's an offering of self. Every other response, Abraham, Abraham, called by name, but Isaiah was not. You could put yourself in that place right now this morning. You may say, Preacher Darren, I want to hear God speak, but that's not what I want to hear God speak. What you've heard him speak is there's some things in your life that need to be cleaned up, some things in your life that need to be repented over, hardships, grievances, things that you're out of control with in your life and you know it. There's a doctor told me this story. He said there was a man came in and he said, doctor, he said, it's funny. He said, everywhere I touch, it hurts. He said, I touch here, it hurts. When I touch here, it hurts. When I touch my knee, it hurts. When I touch my shoulder, it hurts. I touch my elbow, it hurts. When I touch my wrist, it hurts. What is wrong with me? He said, you've got a broken finger. Preacher, everything I touch, it just hurts. I get hurt. You know what's wrong? There's sin in your life that God's got to deal with and get past in your life before he can even get you to that place of consecration.